Father God Almighty, you've called each of us into your service, and along with service come sacrifices. Thank you, Lord, if we remember those whose sacrifices have ensured our freedom that we enjoy every day. Thank you, Lord, for those you've put in our pathways, Lord, that whose sacrifices have helped to mold us into the servants we become. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made for our salvation, Lord, through the cross and through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for the children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? Y'all doing all right? Got our bag. All right. All right. Let's see what we got. What in the world? Oh, is this a little helicopter deal? It's a drone. What do you do with a drone? Oh, okay. Are the batteries in there? Oh my goodness gracious. That's a little too much temptation. So the drone does what? It flies over, right? And it goes up, and you can kind of see what's going on if you got a camera in there, right? Well, what is today? I know it's Sunday, but what is Joel? No, sir. Get down. Today is Ascension Sunday, and today we celebrate Jesus going up to heaven. To be with God. And he goes up so that the Holy Spirit can come back down. And this drone goes up, kind of see what's going on, right? And you get kind of a bird's eye view of all the things taking place. And in the same way, God is always watching us. Not necessarily just from above, but a lot of times he's right next to us, isn't he? Helping us, showing us the way that we need to go. And a lot of times when we can see from far up, we know what's coming, right? And how to move forward. And so let us be mindful today that God's always helping us know how to move forward and how to go the way that we should go. All right? So here you are. Who do you want to give the bag to this week? All right. Franklin has the bag for next week. All right. So we're going to pray. First through third graders, you all will stay up here today. Everyone, kindergarten and younger, will go downstairs, okay? So first through third, you all stay up here today, all right? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you've given to us, for your love and grace. Lord, we thank you for your ascension, how you have gone to be with our Father. And Lord, we thank you that you've not left us alone, but you have sent your Holy Spirit to come and to guide us. May we always be mindful of your great love for us, and we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have to learn from them, and the opportunity we have to teach them. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, first through third, you all stay up here. Everyone else can go downstairs. Jordan's going to take you, okay? There you go. Our scripture lesson this morning, as I have alluded to it a few times, comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Hear now the word of our Lord. As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood next to them. They said, "Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, Alphaeus' son, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, James' son. All were united in their devotion to prayer, along with some women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day that you have given to us, for this word that we have heard read. Lord, we pray that the words you have given me today would be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to comprehend. May our hearts receive your message this day, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. The ascension, Jesus going to heaven, him leaving the earth physically, is a pivotal moment in the life of the church. It's one of our holy days. Unfortunately, Ascension Sunday often gets lost in the company of Christmas, celebrating Christ's birth, or recognizing and remembering Christ's death or the resurrection. It often gets lost in the midst of Sundays like Pentecost, which we'll celebrate next Sunday. Ascension is kind of the younger sibling of all these. Sometimes it gets ignored, right? But without it, without Ascension Sunday, without recognizing Jesus going to the Father's throne, we have no church. We simply have people following one person. If Pentecost, as we tend to celebrate it, is the birthday of the church, which we celebrate it to be, then the ascension would be the church's conception, the beginnings of what this is going to look like after Jesus has died, risen, and ascended. And so we're left this morning to kind of ask ourselves, what is the church? Who are we as the body of Christ? What is our responsibility now that he has gone and as we are awaiting the Holy Spirit? The ascension and the response of the disciples both serve to show us what the church is supposed to be. Jesus and his disciples in this passage are promoted to glory, if you will. Has anyone ever heard the phrase "promoted to glory" before? The very first time I ever heard this phrase, I was in college, and I was a sophomore at Asbury, and we had a freshman to die in a car accident during the spring semester. And he was a member of the Salvation Army. And so we had the president of the college at the time was a general in the Salvation Army at one time, and we had this promotion to glory service. They don't call it a funeral in the Salvation Army. They call it a promotion to glory. This person has gone on. They have run the race. They have kept the faith, and now they're being promoted to the highest place they can be. And it certainly changed my perspective of death. It changed my perspective of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we have a sense that Jesus and the disciples are being promoted to glory in this passage. This event, this ascension, shows us how the two halves of God's creation work in unison, how heaven and earth are linked, how we are a people who live here but look forward to there, and how we can glimpse that heavenly realm even now. The first thing that we see again in this passage is the ascension of Jesus into heaven. As Jesus is speaking, we're told, with the disciples, he is taken up and a cloud takes him out of their sight. Now we remember Jesus is here in his resurrected form. He is flesh and blood just like the rest of us. And many of us, when we hear this and when we read this and when we see that Jesus is taken up and disappears, we take this to mean that heaven is some distant land outside of our own world. Many believe that heaven is some distant cosmic reality that's far beyond our solar system and all of these various things, and there's all of this science to go along with that. But notice here how he goes. The cloud comes and envelops him and takes him out of their sight. And we know throughout Scripture what the cloud represents. It represents the presence of God. We remember on Mount Sinai how the cloud overtook the top of that mountain as Moses was receiving the law. We remember the pillar of cloud that led the Israelites through the wilderness for 40 years. We remember how the cloud would come into the Holy of Holies as the priests entered in to offer atonement for the people. We remember the cloud that came down on the Mount of Transfiguration as Jesus stood before Peter, James, and John. And of course, next Sunday on Pentecost, we will celebrate the great wind that swept in and overtook them by the Holy Spirit. You see, the cloud represents God with us now, but also beyond us. God here and there. God now and not yet. You see, we can't behold God's true form now, much like we can't grab hold of a cloud. Has anyone ever tried to do that? It doesn't work very well. And then you look kind of weird just doing this, right? We can't behold God yet, but we can experience God. We recognize when he descends upon us. We understand aspects of it. And Jesus goes in this passage to his Father. He goes to heaven. And in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, God speaks of his created world in two halves. We have heaven and we have earth. We have the spiritual and we have the physical. And both of these realities are woven together. They are dependent on each other. Maybe we can consider it this way. On the next slide, I have a picture of something you all are probably familiar with. What is that? American flag. Now, when we see that, there are two halves to this. There are two parts of this American flag. There's the physical, right? The material, the red and white and blue cloth, the stitching that takes place to put this together, right? And so we see that. We understand that. But when we look at this, very rarely do we focus on the pattern or the stitching. We see what it represents, don't we? We see the 13 stripes, and we know what that represents. We see the 50 stars, and we know what that represents. It represents freedom. It represents independence. It represents who we are and who we claim to be as a people. If we just look at the physical aspect of the flag, at the end of the day, it's a piece of cloth. If we just look at the meaning of it, we miss what's really there. And so as we look at this flag, as we consider it, we see that both ways of looking at it are interlocked, and they help to explain the other. An ideal is important, but if there isn't something to focus us on that ideal, then we're not going to follow through with it. The flag does that for us. It focuses us on our ideal as Americans. The Bible does that for us. It focuses us on our ideal as Christians. Jesus' ascension does that for us. It reminds us that heaven and earth are not separated by this insurmountable chasm, but that they are interlocked and they are constantly working together. May your will be done on heaven or on earth as it is in heaven. How often do we pray that prayer together? And so in Jesus' ascension, we see him passing between both, foreshadowing for us what will be someday. Jesus' ascension into heaven then leads to the response of these disciples, and we're going to forego the fact that they just sit there looking up for a while after he goes up, like a bunch of bumps on a log. And we see that the 11 disciples are named: Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, Alphaeus' son, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, who is James' son. They're there with some women. Specifically, Mary is there, the mother of Jesus, and then, of course, Christ's brothers. What's interesting about the mention of Mary is that Mary was there at the birth of Jesus. She is also here at the birth of the church, thus tying those two things together very intricately in a way that, again, we tend to miss. But the naming of these persons is important because it further emphasizes the now and the not yet. It emphasizes the reality of heaven and earth. This ideal, this hopefully future place we plan to be, and the matter of fact of life of these persons who are figuring that out together. These people wait in anticipation for the return of Christ and for the coming of the Holy Spirit, much like we continue to wait today. Like them, we are a people of anticipation. We are in the advent of Christ's return. And we're not told to just sit and do nothing, but we're told to wait. And while we are waiting, we are told to witness, to be those who share the things that we have seen and heard, as we see in verse 8. Jesus says, "As the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it will give you power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The disciples here, as they are awaiting the Holy Spirit, gather in the upstairs room, the upper room, if you will, and they do so as a united group, as people of one mind, devoting themselves to prayer. That's what they do over the next 10 days until Pentecost comes, until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They stay together and they pray. And when we pray, when we read Scripture, when we celebrate communion and baptism, when we fast, when we gather together and unite as a worshiping body, we experience God. We experience the now and the not yet, God's kingdom here on earth. The ascension reminds us that God is not far away. His presence is with us in the Holy Spirit. He is continuing to guide and to woo and to call us to himself. We do not have to wait to see glimpses of heaven. We can see glimpses now. God's kingdom, for many of us, is one prayer away. It is here as we gather together. I would venture to guess we all want to know what the kingdom of God looks like. Am I right? We'll take a look around. This is what it looks like. Not Petri, per se, but a group of people gathered together. Those who have come together to unite, to be in prayer, to hold one another up, to be accountable to one another, to love one another. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. Ta-da! And we can experience it now. As we are together now in this means of grace, we are experiencing God's kingdom. It's not something that we don't know what it looks like. We are experiencing it now. When we attend to these various means of grace, we are actively living in God's kingdom. When we pray, when we read Scripture, when we worship together, when we fast, when we celebrate communion and baptism, in these acts, in these moments, in these times, we are promoted to glory. We see God in very real and powerful ways. I venture to guess most of us are here because we've had a grand experience with God. And I venture to guess that for most of us, it took place while we were attending to one of these means of grace. The church is where this takes place, or at least it's where it should take place. The church is the place we celebrate. It is the people that we celebrate with as we rejoice in Christ's departure so that the Holy Spirit might come. As we look forward to the return of Jesus as he has promised and as we have been made known by these two witnesses, we celebrate now the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit with us, giving us glimpses of the kingdom of God, reminding us that we are not far removed from God's kingdom, from this heavenly realm we so desire to see someday. As a church, we unite together to celebrate the now and the not yet. What we can see and what we will be able to see. God's kingdom in its entirety. So I ask us this morning, do you want to be the church? Do you want to be that place? Do you want to be those people who continue to unite together? To devote yourself to prayer, to reading Scripture, to fasting, to gathering together, to Holy Communion, to baptism. Do we want to be those people? Do we want to allow the ascension of Jesus Christ to set us free to go where the Spirit calls us and where the Spirit guides us? That's your question to answer. But do not answer it outside of the community of faith. Answer it here, within this place, with these who are gathered around you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day. We thank you for your ascension, for your departure, reminding us and showing us that one day we too will be caught up with you. We pray now that as the Holy Spirit continues to surround us, to envelop us, that we might go where we are being called, that we might indeed be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the very end of the earth. May we share with others the things that we have seen, and may we be united in that mission as we pray together. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.